The following is a presentation of Real Racin' USA.
This is Joe Irwin.
And this is Wayne Jefferson.
From Jefferson Irwin Racing.
And you're listening to Real Racin' USA.
It's time to go drag racing! 200 plus miles per hour! And it is time to go drag racing again with Straight Lining with Stevie. And I'm Jack Smith. This is Real Racing USA Straight Lining with Stevie show on Wednesday night, as always. And the star of the show is Stevie LaTemps. Welcome back, Stevie. Let's go do it, man.
Hey, guy, how we doing? I'll tell you what, we're not going to fool around. We're going to get right to the heart of it. I have got the legend in Pro Modified on here with me right now, a six-time world champion in IHRA Pro Modified, Scotty Cannon.
Scotty, all right.
Thank you for coming on the show tonight.
Hey, brothers, no problem. It's my pleasure. Glad to be here.
Well, Scotty, we're going to get right to it. Everybody's heard about it, and those that haven't hopefully will hear about it tonight, that you and your son have teamed up with identical cars and are going to compete in Pro Modified. So you're making your return to Pro Modified after several years, and your son's out there going after his second world championship. These are going to be identical cars. And what kind of power can we expect, horsepower-wise, to come out of these cars this year? Because I know you've been working on them.
Well, you know, it's a good question you ask. And you may have already heard I've been in Canada doing some dyno testing already with our stuff. Let's put it this way. We were up there this weekend, and we dynoed a bunch of different lowers and a bunch of different combinations, and the power that Junior had last year outseated everybody else's that we was testing on the dyno. So it wasn't light years away from a couple of combinations, but it was still ahead. And this is like pro stock to me. Anytime you're somewhat ahead, you're not behind. And we haven't even went back to the dyno to even test our new stuff or any of the stuff we're actually working on for 2008 for either car. So we were actually just comparing our stuff to see where we stood, to kind of not wanting to brag at all, but why the car was so successful. You know, it's been low ET numerous times, and it's been a lot of speed. And by saying that, we had never been on a dyno with the combination we had. So we were a little puzzled ourselves. We knew it had to have power. We didn't know where. So, you know, we're not letting no grass grow under our feet, that's for sure, because I don't know no one else has been to the dyno yet, and I haven't even been to the racetrack to see if I can drive, so we're really excited about it.
Well, let me ask you this. We saw the 590s start to flash up. Can we look for a lot of 590s, do you think, not only out of your team, but out of a lot of the guys out there this season?
You know, I was thinking that we would have run more fives than we did. I can't speak for everybody else, but I can speak on past history. And, you know, the bottom line is when you get down to the, say, 6.0 range or 6.10, 11 or 12, well, let's just say 6.0, 6.10 down, I'm seeing that the cars are real temperamental. The clutch has to be right. And with the way they've got the rules structured now, you know, if the driver, with him not having a two-step, it puts the driver back in it. If he misses the leave RPM, you know, a couple hundred either way, it either blows the tires off or either it bogs the car and it won't go down a racetrack. So for say, you know, if everybody that was on the two-step, it goes back to swap his feet, they're going to improve, and I think we're going to see more low 6-second and maybe some more 5-second runs. If these guys don't foresee to make it or get any better at what they're doing, and then it's not going to happen because it's so critical, you know. And you know, I call the tech department at IHRA, they're the police, and we're the gangsters because we're always trying to get away with everything we can. And, you know, Mike Baker, and they do a good job, and they're trying to keep the classes even as they can. So, that you know, that's a good, tricky question. And you know, I've seen a lot of people last year, and I haven't went back to swapping feet either, so I'm probably speaking for myself. It's pretty temperamental. You know, you take the Quain Stotts, he's a natural. He don't seem to have problems. I mean, the Carl Spearings, there's for all the old timers. I mean, Mike Janis, three or four of them out there that swap feet so consistent, so good. Those guys are going to continue to run good. So, you know, it's going to really matter if any of the guys step up to the plate, you know, and get to where they can hit the ball better.
I know the ADRL, we've seen a lot of eighth-mile racing there where they do run down into the 390 zone. You think when you go to the eighth-mile event down in San Antonio, Texas, you look to see a lot of the guys hit into 390s. And what do you think you will do on your first time out as well?
Well, me personally, with my car, you're asking? Well, the long and short of it is I should be close to little Scott. As far as driving, I shouldn't be. There's no way I'll be as sharp as him. I've been out of the car so long. You know, unless maybe, you know, it's like riding a bicycle. That would be the best thing that could happen to me. But as far as the horsepower-wise, we'll be sisters. So we don't have anything hit under the table there. But, you know, when we first started off testing the first year, we had a throttle on, D10 under the throttle. Just different things that we finally wound up having to just, we took them off the car because I used to swap feet when I drove up until the last couple of years when I had an air throttle. So I actually kind of had to school Junior a little bit on that too. Hopefully, I mean, you know, I've got some age on me. Hopefully I can, you know, I can, between the first race and now, I can get out there and make enough laps to where it ain't an issue. As far as the power wise, you know, I have as much as him, unless he falls asleep and I find something and he don't get it for me.
Running the 8th mile, is there anything special that the crew chief has to do to prepare the car differently than he would if he was racing quarter mile?
Well, no. And once again, it falls back to the rules again. I mean, Mike Baker's got us held up to a 430 gear. So, you know, first thing I would do is put a lower gear in the back, which you can't. You can only run a 3-speed, so you can actually put some more low gear in it, because you don't have to live with putting it in high later on. So outside of changing the transmission a little bit and probably trying to burn the wick, when I say the wick is how much, what you have is from when you let the clutch out to 1,320 feet, you only have what I call a wick that you can burn as hard as you can burn it till you get to the finish line without burning the motor up. Well, now then, we're only going to have a 660-foot wick. So I will for sure be leaning on my stuff real hard early. And you don't have to travel that last 1,320 feet. So, yeah, you know, if the crew chief's got his head out of his butt, he'll definitely tune his car different.
Well, let me ask you this. Now that you're driving, and, of course, Scott Jr.'s driving, are you still going to be involved in the tune-up, or do you have somebody coming on board to help tune these?
No, we have a couple guys, Lance Flanagan from Flanagan Crankshafts. He's going to actually be, for say, what I call, I guess you'd say, my crew chief guy. Me and Scott still going to tune the cars off the same computer. We'll have the same tune-up. Bottom line is, you know, if me and Junior have to run each other, it'll be the best man win. So I ain't really looking forward to that right off the get-go. And like I said, I get the cobweb blowed out of my butt because he was doing pretty good there toward the end of the year. A lot of the mistakes that was made the last couple races was me blowing the tires off, and I was the crew chief. So, you know, that's one of the things we're going to test, see what we're going to have to do to get the car down the racetrack on Sunday. And once again, coming off the dyno, that was real, real good. You know, me and Rick Stefano was up there doing some dynos, and we dynoed, we made about at 20 pulls in 2 days. And with the power range where we got in our car, I think I may have learned something that will really help me on that in that department on Sunday. So, once again, you know, we just have to wait and see what happens.
Well, both you and your boy are running identically prepared 67 Firebirds. Are they painted the same? Or how are they going to look? How are they going to be different?
Well, they're 68s, but that didn't really matter. The as of now, I know his car is going to stay a sister to what it was. We're not even painting it. Mine, and this was coming from Evan, he wanted them both painted identically the same. I'm probably going to push for maybe a suggestion of maybe my flames being just a little bit different, so maybe we won't try to get in different cars or something of that nature. So to answer your question, unless something changes now, they will be identical. And that come from Evan, the horse's mouth. I mean, he said if you're going to run a father and son team, he wants them when you pull to the start line to where you basically can't tell the difference.
You know, I know you've got a proud father with your son being the world champion. What's it going to feel like to you whenever you pull up? Because it's going to happen. You look over in the other lane, and there is your boy. Are you prepared to see his taillights, or is this going to be dog-eat-dog going down the driveway?
Well, I believe anybody that knows the Cannon family, I mean, they most of the fans out there know me probably a little bit more, and I guess my character more than they know his. But he's as competitive as I am, and you know we haven't really had sit down and even talked about it. But like, I mean, he's building all the motors as he does now. I'll do most of the clutch. He puts the clutch together. I'll make all the calls. Except, I mean, what people got to understand is he's run two full seasons now. So he makes a lot of the calls on the car anyway. Not the last temperamental call, like, okay, we lean at five or more of this, a little of that. But when we go out there and we set the clutch up different, he has a big say-so on what's going on that anyway. So he's gonna have to step it up when he runs me, because I'm probably going to think I'm behind anyway. So I ain't so sure, since I'm paying the bills, I won't lean on mine a little harder than he'll lean on his.
So he does have one advantage. He's not paying the bills, but I got a feeling if he leans on it too hard, he's going to catch heck, huh?
Well, that's not a real worry of mine, but I figure since he ain't paying the bills, he probably won't care how hard he leans on it, as long as he gets there first. So I ain't going to say that'll be an issue if he starts tearing up a lot of stuff, but he might get a cut and pay.
On the line, it was the finals, and you square off, is what you're saying.
If it gets to the finals, we're going to let it hang out. They'll probably see smoke in both lanes. One of my buddies was saying the other day, he said, what are y'all going to do if y'all get all mad? Because I guess I'm probably a little more higher strung than him, but he's a little bit quieter. I said, I don't know. He said, well, I haven't figured it out. He said, if there's a big scuffle on top end, you and him just run. He said, I'm pretty sure Scooter and Baker say, oh, don't worry about it. It's just Cannon and them. They'll be all right.
Well, so, I'll be down there with a camera live, and we'll get it on film.
That works.
Well, I'll tell you what. With the two of you getting together now and putting this whole thing out there, this is probably one of the most unique things that ever happened. You talked about Evan Knoll. Is he excited about this, about seeing you two guys square off together?
Mm-hmm. He says he is. I mean, like I said, I haven't talked to Evan in the last couple of weeks, but whenever a lot of it, you know, I have my back issues, which everybody knows, no secret. I had surgery in between races. And when I was running Funny Car, it hurt me. And then when I started back running Pro Mod for that year, it didn't seem to be as bad on my back. I ain't going to say it won't. I hope it's not. But whenever I brought it to his attention and the reasons why I did it, and, you know, I'm still going to be managing the fuel car team. It's not like I've lost this car. Bobby's just going to be driving it. He was excited. He come right back with, yes, sir, let's do it. He said, this will be one of the hottest things that's ever happened. So I didn't really realize it was going to, you know, start off as a bash that big. But you know, from what I understand, he seems to be really excited about it.
So if I gathered that right, you're going to still be tuning the top fuel dragster for Evan Knoll. Your Pro Mods at the same time and drive.
Well, see, the way the dragster works is basically I run the team and manage it.
Uh-huh.
And Jimbo actually done about 99% of the tuning. I mean, we talked about stuff and bounced stuff off of it, but you know, I'll probably be a little bit more. I'll help him more this year if he wants some more help. But Jimbo can run the car by himself, and that'll be one of those deals where, once again, it's whatever Evan wants. But I talked with him last week, and he still wants me to manage the team, help crew chief. He wants everything to stay the same except for we'll have somebody else in there mashing it. Now, I'll probably be more involved on the tuning part of it since I'm not driving. And the reason that is because when I was running Pro Mod a long time ago, I actually crew chiefed it and drove it, which is okay. Well, I was in and out of doing that with my fuel car because I was in and out of crew chiefs back when I was running Funny Car. Well, I got a little criticism from some respectful people. Says, look, if you're ever going to drive these things again, you need to just get in, sit down, shut up, and drive it. Well, that's kind of hard to do when you know how to run one. It's just hard to shut up. So in the Pro Mod world, I don't have to shut up. I will tune it. It is my cars. I do drive them. And there's nobody to really say if I'm doing it right or wrong, because the bottom line is they ain't beat us a whole bunch. So I feel good about running a Pro Mod car and crew chiefing it and with Junior's car and just assisting on the fuel car. That's basically the way it'll work as this year. Now, if that car gets a stumble and has something goes wrong or if anything's happening, I'll be there on the starting line behind this car 110%. I'll be in the pits. I'll be right there just like I was this year, hands on. But the guys are doing such a good job, and we got a good bunch of good guys just to start off in the first of the year with. And we got Todd Blakely, he's assistant crew chief. As long as they're doing their job and they're doing it real good, then I'm a firm believer, and you let a man do his job, and one of Evan's saying is, and I hate to hear this saying, but I like to say it to someone else. You know, I say, well, what are you going to do about this? He said, it's your barbecue. Barbecue it the way you want to. Well, that can go two different ways. You can have a good barbecue, or you can get your butt barbecue. So that's kind of the stand I take on that.
You think you're going to miss driving the top fuel dragster?
I would have to, you know, if I said no, I would be lying. And I think I'm going to miss mashing the pedal in it sometimes, because I'm telling you, they are exciting cars. They're unreal. The part I'm really going to love is I had one of the best times I ever had the year before last when I was just crew chief in Junior's car, and this was one of the best years I've ever had drag racing once again. You know, watching my boy win the championship. So, you know, the only thing can get, it's like, I'm not greedy, but what could be better next year is if one of us could win the championship and one of us could stand behind and we all made it happen together. I mean, if you could do that, I mean, you haven't done it all, but that's just the next plateau. And I just don't know what that would feel like, but I sure would be looking forward to it.
Well, I'll tell you what, I think all of drag racing is as well. I know all the guys who love Pro Mods, they have got to be glued to it whenever you guys pull up and go at it when we go down to San Antonio, Texas. It's going to be one wild deal, especially 8 mile racing, different format, cars with a little different setup, and return of Scotty Cannon Sr. It's going to be absolutely wild. Between you two, it's an incredible 7 world championships, and very good chance there's going to be an 8th one, and it's going to be flipping the coin, I believe, at the end of the season to see who's got that shot at it. Scotty,
you're right, brother.
I do want to thank you so much for coming on. I know you're busy, and I told you I wouldn't hold you too long.
Oh, no.
Thank you again for coming on to Real Racing USA, and it's always a pleasure to talk to you. And hopefully, in San Antonio, I get a chance to talk to you in the winner's circle.
Hey, brother, anytime you want to call us, you don't feel free. You don't feel bad. You won't be bothering me. And like I say, we'll be out there testing and beating the bushes up a little bit. And if you hear something, you give me a call, and we'll get back on here, and we'll just make sure we keep all the fans informed. Because if it wasn't for those guys and Evan Oll and the family and everybody just, you know, making this whole deal happen and people like y'all, then we wouldn't be having this conversation. So I'm pretty sure everybody knows I'm a drag racer at heart, and I intend to keep doing what I've been doing. So I appreciate being on here as much as y'all appreciate having me.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, Scotty Cannon, the 6-time IHRA world champion, he is back. And it's going to be double vision this year. Father and son teaming up, going at it for the world championship in IHRA. Scotty, thank you for coming on oh so very much.
You will. Thank you.
Oh, I'll tell you what, it is going to be wild whenever those two guys square off. And, you know, there's probably going to be some bumps in the road. It's not going to be perfect, but my experience of having the honor of watching both of these Cannons, pressure doesn't seem to bother them. The dad, Scotty Sr., he's outspoken, and he'll jump right out there and tell you. The son, very quiet, but I'll tell you what, he gets the job done. So you got two different personalities, and both of them champions in their own right. So it's going to be really a lot of fun watching these guys race.